Wow, praise the Lord. While the choir is making their way out, everyone, all the youth that are in the play tonight, dress rehearsal is at 2 p.m. So make sure you're here at 2 p.m. this afternoon getting ready. Youth only. Youth only. What time is the other ones? The other group is at 5:15 and the youth at 2 p.m. from ages 13 to 18 needs to be here at 2 p.m. The younger ones can show up at 5:15. Bus is pulling out at 5:30, not 6:30. Correction on the caroling, reaching out. So that's 5:30 instead of 6:30. Also, I want to give you I'm going to give you the news at the end of this service today, but I want to say that if you would like to go take a tour of our building, we do not have the carpet in, but it's safe. There's handrails on the stairs going up to the second and the third floor. You are more than welcome to do so. You can just take a tour either tonight after before the you go and eat, or after, or right after, directly after the morning service. The doors are unlocked over there. You can get to see what the Lord has done for this church, and we're about to relocate the whole Christian school. Pre-K through 12th, everybody over there. And then the second floor in this building is going to be for the School of Ministry, and then we'll use the whole first floor of this back facility for our child care center. Give us room to grow. So that's very exciting. Also, you've seen on Facebook how we've purchased the property in El Salvador, clear and free. We're going to be able to pay cash for all that. And then we've also purchased two pieces of property in Honduras, and we are getting ready to build a church in Honduras, a little facility to house goods. We're going to ship over from Gulfport, Mississippi, and give to the poor and help the needy in that mountain. We'll preach the gospel. In every area that you go in, I can tell you, I haven't been in the mission, working with hands-on experience in the mission field for a long period of time, but I can tell you this, the key is to have a church. The key is to have that lighthouse in that dark area. And that's what our goal is, to plant churches and to bring in pastors, native pastors, train them, help them, support them, and then start a Christian school in strategic locations. Because when you start a school, when you can get these kids when they're young, you can indoctrinate these kids with Jesus. You can give them the gospel, and you raise them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And I can tell you, you can change a society when you have a Christian school. And then we're going to be training through the School of Christ young preachers, and we're going to be sending them out across these countries. And I know we have the mind of God on this, and we've already have many that want to join up with us and help us, so we're excited about that. This time we're going to dismiss our children from age 5 to 11 in the children's church. All of our children, age 5 to 11. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to Proverbs chapter number 14 and verse number 30. I wanted to preach a Christmas message this morning. I may preach a Christmas message in February. I don't know. I just really feel the Lord deal with my heart about something, and I want to share this with you today. Proverbs chapter number 14 and verse number 30. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, we come into this sanctuary with grateful and appreciative hearts that you have chosen us out of this world and put your spirit within. Lord, you have saved us by the blood of the cross of Calvary. This morning, Lord, we've come to worship you in spirit and in truth, and to hear the engrafted word of God, which is able to save our souls. Help us, Lord. I pray that the word of God will become alive to us. Lord, I pray for the anointing that makes preaching effective. Let it rest upon these lips of clay this morning, and on every ear that we can hear what the Spirit of God would say to us. Help us, Holy Ghost, and we ask you in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. I'm going to preach to you this morning on don't get caught in the trap of envy. Give me just a little bit of volume, brother. Don't get caught in the trap of envy. There are a lot of traps in life that the child of God is going to have to avoid and look out for. And I could name a lot of those traps today that the enemy sets them and the world will set them. And you know, our own carnality can set traps for our spirit man, and we must avoid those things. But there is a trap that I'm going to preach about today that is one of the most destructive, deadly, deceiving traps that we could ever be ensnared in. And that is the trap of envy. It is possible to be ensnared in this particular trap and not even know that you are ensnared in the trap of envy. And I can tell you today, there's a lot of folks that are ensnared in jealousy and envy and do not even know they're in that place. I'm warning you, ladies and gentlemen, even the most holy among us, those that have been saved for a long period of time, those that have the resume, those that have the love of Christ, you can be ensnared in a certain area of your life, and it can cause great, great trouble and pain in your life. There are two words that you need to keep in mind as I'm preaching this morning. They are almost but not quite identical. One is the word jealousy and the other is envy. If you look both words up in the dictionary, you will find the definitions are similar, but they are not identical. Hear me, jealousy is the fear that you will lose something valuable to you. You know what that's like to be jealous over something. Amen? The Bible said jealousy is as cruel as the grave. There is an extreme jealousy that's not good. But the Bible also says our God is a jealous God. Do they contradict one another? Absolutely, positively not. We know that there is a jealousy that gets into a very dangerous area. I like the fact that my wife is a little bit jealous over me. I'd be worried if she wasn't. Can I say amen? But jealousy is the fear you will lose something valuable to you. Envy is the anger you feel because somebody got something that you wanted. They look identical. They're very similar, almost cousins, so to speak, but they are not the same. Jealousy is the fear you will lose something valuable to you. Envy is the anger you feel when somebody else gets what you wanted. Jealousy is fear. Envy is anger. When you have one, you almost always have the other. Jealousy is usually first with envy, and or jealousy is usually first with envy trailing very closely behind. It starts off most of the time in jealousy, but it ends up in envy. That's what I'm trying to say this morning. Listen, the Holy Ghost is going to help somebody in this house today. You may be the victim or you may be the perpetrator this morning. You may have been on one side or the other. I'm sure we've all been there. We've all been guilty. We've all been that victim whenever somebody was jealous or envious over us. And the bad thing about it is, if someone is jealous or envious over you, it's bad to say as a Christian, well, they're just jealous. They're just envious. It almost seems like pride. Amen? On our part. But I can tell you, we've all been on that end before, and maybe you've been the one that's been jealous or envious over another brother or sister. But I'm going to ask you to allow the Spirit of God to speak to you and really help us today, because during this season, it's not just during the Christmas season, but it's all year round that there is a trap that longs to ensnare you, and it's been set by the devil himself, and it is that trap of envy. I read a story about two business owners. And this story, I know it wasn't a true story, but it was a story that really made true this point of envy. They were two business owners and their businesses were across the street one from another. And they watched each other every day. Both of them were at the door of their business and they would count the number of customers they had come in their business, and they watched the other business. And they would oftentimes just be overjoyous whenever the other one was struggling and they had more customers come in their store. They could not stand one another. They were very jealous and envious over each other. One night an angel appeared to one of the storekeepers and said, God has sent me to teach you a lesson.
He will give you anything you ask for, but I want you to know, whatever you get, your competitor across the street will get twice as much. Would you like wealth? Ask what you will, and he will get twice as much. Do you want long and happy life? It is yours, but he will live twice as long. You can be famous. Your children can be famous. Whatever you desire, but whatever you get, he will get twice as much. The man frowned, thought for a moment, and said, all right, my request is this. Strike me with blindness in one eye. That is the epitome of envy and jealousy. Listen, we can't stand it when somebody else is blessed. Come on, somebody. Whenever you and I cannot rejoice with our brother or sister, when we're always looking over the fence at the grass that's greener on the other side. I've said it before. It's usually because there's a septic tank underneath the grass. Listen, God has blessed us coming in, and he has blessed us going out. We ought to lift our hands and shout and give God the praise and the glory for what he has given us. I'm warning you, there is a trap of envy that's looking to ensnare every single one of us, and we must be on guard. Proverbs 14 and 30 again. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy is rottenness to the bones. Let me attempt to define envy a little more with four specific things about this thing called envy. Four characteristics. Number one, envy is the sin nobody will confess. You know, I've been in the ministry here at this church for 22 years. And I can tell you this, nobody ever has confessed the sin of envy. I've heard a lot of confession stuff that I wish I had not heard. I mean, I've heard just about everything confessed. But whenever someone has fallen into sin, sexual sins, theft, pride, all kinds of things, but never envy. Why is that? Because most people don't even understand what it is and don't know whenever they're ensnared in this trap. Number two, envy is the sin with no distinct features that are good. There's nothing good about envy. This sin of envy has nothing good about it. There's nothing good, nothing to justify its existence. If you lust, you may find some momentary pleasure. If you're a glutton, you can eat a big meal. If you're guilty of sloth, you can get plenty of rest. And even if you're angry, you can get a few minutes of psychological comfort by exploding in anger. But envy's not that way. Listen, it is this self-mutilating sin. It has all the beauty of a trapped rat gnawing at its foot off in a desperate attempt to escape. I'm telling you, envy will cause the bones to rot, Solomon says. And it is a dangerous sin. Number three, envy is the sin moderately that successfully people have. Successful people. While it is true that anyone can be guilty of the sin of envy, the sin especially strikes those who have made it partway up the ladder of life. Someone who has done well in life. Someone who is successful in their field. Someone who has done well in certain categories of life. That's what oftentimes are associated. Envy strikes us when we realize we're at least as good as the people ahead of us, and many times we're clearly better than they are around us. Envy. We wonder why they have it and we don't. Why is it that they're so blessed? I'm better than they are. I'm more gifted than they are. Why is it that their children act so good, or maybe everything's going well in their home? I know I'm a better person than that individual. I can tell you, you're eat up with envy today. Or why is it that they always get the promotion? Or why are they the special one? Why are they God's little special child? Amen. Why is it that I always get the short end of the stick? Listen, you may be in the trap of envy. And number four, the fourth characteristic is the sin of envy makes us believe the worst about other people. Envy causes us to doubt the motives of those who are kind to us and to attack those who succeed instead of us. It is the cancer of the soul and destroys our ability to see others objectively. Listen to me today, Harvest Time Church, it is a trap. It is a trap. Somebody gets a new car and it bothers you, or a new house, or it can come in so many different varieties this morning. Listen, I'm going to give you a checklist. You may say, well, Brother Matt, how do I really know? Because it's such a wide range of category. I want you to pay very close attention this morning to the checklist and see if you're guilty of being envious. You may be green with envy if we secretly regret that our friends have succeeded where we have not. Does it bother you when your friends have succeeded in any category of life when you have it? It's very painful for you. You just don't understand it. Come on. Number two, we believe we would have done better if we had gotten the right breaks. Number three, we use excuses to explain why somebody else did better than us. Number four, we complain that others do not appreciate us as they should. The next one, we walk the other way rather than congratulate a friend on their good fortune. There are people who will come up to you genuinely with a good heart. Whenever you do anything, they'll say, good job. And they mean it from the bottom of their heart. But there are people that can sing a song or teach or do something inside or outside the church, but others find it so hard to congratulate them because it's so painful that they saw them successful in life. You may be green with envy if, oh, come on, church. We refuse to be friends with someone who excels in their field. You say, Brother Matt, are there really people like this? Maybe there's nobody in Harvest Time Church, but believe it or not, there are people like this in the world. We can't bear to hear our friends complimented in our presence. It bothers us. Whenever somebody gives them accolades and builds them up, it bothers you. Come on, church. Listen, we keep our eyes on others to make sure no one gets ahead unfairly. Everybody's got to be the same, right? Sounds a little bit like communism to me. We say, I really like so-and-so, but I want to make sure you have all the facts about them. We're better at criticism than we are at praise. Number 14, we cannot be around others without complaining how hard life is. And number 15, we have a hard time believing our friends have more talent than we do. Well, believe it or not, there are people out there that are more talented than you, that they are more gifted than you. Come on. The Bible makes it very clear. One was given one talent, one was given two, and one was given five. We are not the same, every one of us. But what God does require is for you to love Him, for you to bless Him, for you to take what He's given you and do something with in the kingdom of God what He has given you. Come on. One lady captured the heart of envy in this humorous prayer. Lord, if you cannot make me thin, at least make my friends look fat. Envy causes us to say, I've been treated unfairly and I want my fair share. I can't have it. If I can't have it, you can't have it either. No one can be richer, healthier, happier, more spiritual, or more gifted than we are. Envy is the great equalizer. It allows us to drag others down to the gutter where we live in our misery. Come on, church. But I'm going to tell you even more crazy, this thing about envy. Doctors don't envy people who work in the construction field. You ever notice that? Attorneys don't envy somebody who works for Amazon. Soldiers don't envy plumbers. Come on. So what is the point here? We envy those that we perceive that are most like us and closest to us in our field, in our category, who are closest to us, who we are trying to compete with. Let me tell you something. A competitive spirit in the kingdom of God is demonic. It's not of God. Listen, it's not about Matt Gregory. It's not about you. It's about Christ in us, the hope of glory. And it's all about the kingdom. I'm not trying to excel over somebody else, and you must never try to excel over someone else. Ladies and gentlemen, we must not get caught in the trap of envy. Likewise, we don't envy those who clearly are below us, are far above us. But envy starts when we compare ourselves to those we consider in our class and near us. Come on. There are many warnings in the Word of God about envy, but there is none greater than the example of King Saul. You know the story in 1 Samuel chapter 18. The heart of the story is in this particular passage. Whenever Saul loved David, and you remember the story, David killed the giant. What a feat that was accomplished by this young man that was anointed by God. But whenever he came back on the scene, the Bible said that the ladies grabbed the tambourines and they began to sing a new song. What was the new song? It was a song that said, Saul has killed his thousands. Now, Saul was the king. David was nothing but a shepherd boy. Saul, the king, has killed his thousands, but David, his 10,000s. Oh, I'm going to tell you, there is nothing worse than trying to edify somebody that's beneath you in your realm of influence or your work or anything that you love. It will cause jealousy to spring up in the heart of those who have not prayed through. Saul is exhibit A of what happens when envy takes over a person's life. We find out that this man, he had already broke his vow to God and he had sinned. And the Bible said that over and over again, he had sinned. God told him not to make the sacrifice. You know the story. He made the sacrifice whenever he was to wait on the prophet. Because of his willful sin, God sent an evil spirit. God sent the evil spirit to torment King Saul. Saul was tormented. The Holy Spirit of God had left Saul, and David was now the anointed of the Lord. Saul's the king, David's the shepherd boy. But I'm going to tell you, God had already anointed David as king. In this kingdom, it's the only place where you can get fired and still keep your job for a little while. God had already fired Saul, but David was coming up the ranks. Why? Because he was a man after God's own heart. I'm going to tell you something. Whenever you and I rebel against God, you may not get the punishment immediately, but if you don't repent, I can tell you, judgment is on its way. David was there and in the presence of Saul. Saul loved David. David would oftentimes play the harp, and the Bible said the anointing on David's playing and singing on the harp drove the spirits, evil spirits, from Saul. That's why song leaders and choir members and musicians must live a sanctified, separated life. That's why we must pray. Listen, the music, the songs, it begins to break up the fallow ground for the seed, which is the word of God, to be sown in their hearts. I'm going to tell you, good, anointed, powerful music can drive away the devil. Oh, come on, church. But you got to be sanctified, set apart, and full of God's Holy Ghost. Oh, we read that he would oftentimes drive those spirits away from Saul. But whenever he had killed the giant, jealousy took over. One day he's playing the harp in Saul's presence. And Saul picked up a javelin. And he's angry at David for no reason. Why is he angry at David? I'll tell you why. Because Saul sees something in David that he used to have in himself. And now he's jealous. That anointing that was on David's life is now, that used to be on Saul, is now on David. And he is afraid of David. Come on. I'm going to tell you, in this kingdom, wherever you are as a child of God, you must guard against a jealous spirit. Because jealousy is always turns into envy, and it will destroy your life. You know the story. As time went on, it got worse and worse. Over and over again, Saul tried to kill David. David was on the run. We know, as the story goes, David refused to come against Saul. He refused to touch the anointed of the Lord. You know, I get phone calls throughout the country, throughout the years, of people who are mad at their pastor. You know what I tell them? You better not touch that man of God. Well, he's wrong. He's done this. Well, you quietly leave. Go to him. Go to him first of all in humility. Try to figure this thing out. But don't you cause no trouble. You better walk out that door. Listen, David was the same way. Why was he a man after God's own heart? Because he loved God. He was the anointed of God. He hungered and thirsted for God. But he refused to touch the anointed of the Lord. And God ended up blessing him. You know that he refused to harm him. And the Bible said eventually Saul died. Listen, this man was eat up with envy. Saul was like a cancer. Fear and anger. Anger and fear. Working together. Feeding one another. Eating away at all of Saul's mental stability. Listen, when jealousy turns into envy, it will eat away at you. It will gnaw at you like a cancer. You won't be mentally stable. Listen, this man has done lost his mind. Saul had lost his mind. This man that was a king of influence and he was God's anointed had ended up becoming a crazy man trying to kill that which was anointed of God. I've seen a lot throughout the church age like this. Listen, Harvest Time Church, those watching by Facebook, I'm warning you, that spirit of envy, it is a trap. You and I must be on guard and watch out for it in our own life. The fact that David is innocent of any wrongdoing doesn't matter to Saul. Jealousy had consumed him. Soon, envy causes bones to rot. That's what happens to all of us when we begin to envy. All perspective is gone. Saul was not a slouch. He was not a loser. He killed his thousands. Strangely enough, the higher a man rises, the more prone he is to envy. Hear me. You'll always wonder why that's not you in that place. I'm better than they are. I can do this better. What is it? What is their secret ingredient? Man, I figured y'all be hanging off the chandeliers by now, shouting the victory with me. Come on. You know, I'm preaching the truth to you today. We've all been there. We've either been the perpetrator or the victim. We've been on that side that said, why not me? What's going on? Lord, is it really, am I the problem here? Well, you may be the problem, but you may not be the problem. Just because God hasn't placed you there or your family in that situation or given you the promotion, whatever it may be. Listen, you and I could be in danger of coming against God. Think about it. Saul was jealous and envious of David. It wasn't David he was against. He became an enemy of God. Listen, no matter how good you do, there's always someone who has done a tad bit better. In every one of our lives, we ain't the best. And when we are so competitive by nature, I want to be the best for God that I can be as a dad, as a husband, as a pastor, as a Christian. Yes, but I can tell you something. I'm not the best. There's always somebody a tad bit better. And if I can't look at somebody else and say, praise God, and let them inspire me to do a little bit better and to grow and to become more in the kingdom of God, there's something wrong with me. But when I can look at somebody else with a jealous eye and say, why not me? And have pain whenever they receive accolades or when I see them succeed, I'm going to tell you something. I'm racing towards judgment. It is a cancer of the soul and it is gnawing at my own soul. It will cause you to lose mental stability. There's always somebody a tad bit better. When I was a kid, I used to love watching bodybuilding. I can't stand that stuff now. I mean, talking about the flesh. I mean, I want to stay in shape. My wife looks like she's my daughter, you know. But I'm talking about extreme stuff. On Mr. Olympia, I used to watch those guys. I mean, these guys are working out 20 hours of the 24 hours a day, it looks like. And I remember watching at the very end of that competition, there were 5 left. And then there were 4 left. And then there were 3 left. And then there were 2. And I always looked at number 2. And I'm wondering how the number 2 guy is going to respond whenever the other one wins the prize. I'm telling you, he's probably practiced over and over again, having a nice look on his face and trying to congratulate his buddy. But I'm going to tell you, they never are really that good at lying. You can see the look on their face. I don't watch the Miss America pageant. I'm just a bunch of garbage to me. But I can tell you it's the same way in all those competitions, all those things. Everybody thinks that they should be number one. We should be God's man of faith and power of the hour. I'm going to tell you something. I am nothing without Him. I am a zero, a nobody. And this church is nothing. I've received accolades in the last several months about this church being the anointed church of this hour. I'm like, are you out of your mind? Listen, if we mess up one time, if we grieve the Holy Ghost, the dove can fly and all the things God's doing here will leave. We are nobody. We are nothing, but He is everything. I must decrease. Christ must increase. It's all about Jesus. We need to stop this competitive spirit of jealousy and envy. No, it doesn't matter if they're better. We need to rejoice with our friends. I want you to look at Saul and David again. I'm going to go back just for a moment. Look at Jonathan. Jonathan should have preceded his father Saul in becoming king. But when Jonathan knew that David was the man of the hour, they were close, they were souls were knit together. Jonathan did not get jealous and envious. He accepted it because it was the plan of God. Listen, whenever we become jealous or envious, especially those in this church or in other churches, you may be jealous and envious over God Himself. God's the one that gives promotions. God's the one that anoints and blesses and gives. Come on, church. How dare you and I become so foolish? I'm so angry at things that do not matter. Relational envy is another common envious trap. Two single women may be very good friends. They hang out, they talk, they shop, like most women do. They're very close. They have a great time together. Then one of them gets a boyfriend. Woo! Praise the Lord. And you both rejoice. Your friends rejoicing with you, and he's the guy. He's the one. He's the one you've been praying for. And all of a sudden, at first, the woman without the boyfriend is happy for her friend. But inevitably, her loneliness begins to weigh heavier and heavier on her. It gets harder and harder to celebrate her friend's happiness. Have you ever seen this before? Her friend gets engaged and shows her the ring, all giddy and excited. She's polite and musters up as much enthusiasm as she can. But secretly, she's thinking, it is not fair. Did you see how she flaunts that ring in my face? Oh, it's so beautiful. Come on, church. Envy will rot the bones. Come on. Oh, listen to me. Oh, of course, married people experience their own strain of envy. One woman just can't help noticing things about her friend's husband. He has a good job. He leads his family spiritually. He takes care of his body. He helps out around the house. He even gives the kids baths at nighttime without even being asked. You're making me look bad. Well, we don't do that. Our kids are older, but you know. I told one of the kids, one of the young men, I said, man, you're helping all the ladies clean up all the time. You're making us look bad. Then she looks at her own husband. She looks at that other lady's husband. He does all these nice things. She looks at her own husband, hunched down on the couch, watching a ball game with a half-eaten bag of Doritos resting on his stomach with Doritos everywhere. Come on. You know what I'm talking about. Why does she get the good guy? Why do I have to struggle with him? Come on. Listen, husbands struggle with this also. A man noticed that his friend's wife always seems to be encouraging her husband. She's always pats him on the back, always brags on him, always has dinner ready, and never complains about the care of the house. It's always tidy and neat, but it feels like every time his own wife opens her mouth, she's bossing him around, running him down, griping about something he has not done. Beware of the trap of envy. Oh, but Brother Matt, I'm not there. I understand. Are you truly, really not there? Are you in the trap of envy today? Listen, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, it is a trap. And we must, and I didn't even touch on many other categories, but going back to those 13 definitions and things that you may be guilty of, are you guilty? I'm going to just read a couple of them just one more time again. We secretly regret that our friends have succeeded where we have not. We believe we would have done better if we had gotten the breaks. We use excuses to explain why someone else did better than us. We complain that others do not appreciate us as we should. We walk the other way rather than congratulate a friend on good fortune. Come on, church. You know what I'm talking about today. We question the motives of those who show kindness to us when we can't sincerely rejoice with others on their personal successes. We refuse to be friends with someone who excels in our field. And there's many, many more. Brother Matt, I'm guilty. Don't raise your hand. There's many that are guilty. If we're not guilty right now, we've been guilty. Or maybe we're on the other side of this thing. How do we handle it? How do we overcome? How do we escape the trap of envy? Number one, you've got to admit it. Nobody, I said it a moment ago, in all these years of pastoring, assistant pastor, 22 years at this church, no one's ever said, "Brother Matt, I need to sit down with you and talk. I need to confess something. I have a spirit of envy." No one's ever done that. Because most of the time, they don't even know it is envy. No one's ever confessed the spirit of jealousy. And jealousy runs rampant throughout the kingdom of God. And remember, jealousy is the fear of something that we could lose. Envy is the anger of somebody getting something that we want. They are cousins, ladies and gentlemen. What do we do? The very first thing that we've got to do when you're in the trap, you got to come to grips with what it is, and you have to admit to, "I've got a problem in my life." Listen, this message isn't for somebody else. This is for us this morning, and we got to hear the voice of God. It may be an area that's small in your life, or you may be eat up completely with envy. We must admit it. Denying the issue is not going to make it go away. Coming to grips with something will always free you. There is something freeing with saying, "I'm the one. I'm guilty." You remember when Nathan came to David and he gave the story about the man with one little ewe lamb and how the rich man stole the ewe lamb? And whenever David was so angry, it took a prophet for him to see it. But whenever he found out he was the one that stole the ewe lamb, he said, "It's me." He had to come to grips. Listen, in any area of restitution, restoration, repentance, you've got to admit that it's me. Listen, there is a liberty. It's saying, listen, you look in the mirror and say, "No, it's you. It's not that other person." We like to play the blame game. We like to blame everybody else for our kids' problems. We like to blame everybody else for our own issues. No, we got to look in the mirror and call it what it is. We don't mind calling it what it is in everybody else's life. Is it not right? We just like to tell the truth. Listen, we quote the scripture all the time. When you know the truth will make you free. Well, I can tell you something. We quote it enough to other people. What about ourselves? We got to come to grips. Get as brutally honest with yourself as you are with other people. Number two, I'm talking about getting free from the trap of envy. Confess it and repent it. Repent of it. Confession is a step beyond admitting. Confessing and repentance go hand in hand. When you agree with God, you're not just saying, "Yes, it's me," but you're agreeing with God that it is wicked. Listen, whenever we allow jealousy and envy to get a hold of our lives, we're basically, that's an indictment upon God saying, "Lord, you have dealt me a bad hand. You have done good for them, but you've done me wrong." I don't understand why you're doing this to me. I deserve better than this. I want you to think about it for a moment. Whenever somebody, when you're upset because somebody has something or something for them, whatever that is, when envy has gotten a hold of you, you're saying, God, you are not being fair to me. Listen, what we had better do is repent of this envious spirit. Listen, repentance is still necessary for eternal life. Number three, prayer. Pray for the success of those you envy. But Brother Matt, you don't understand how hard it would be for me to pray for that prideful sucker. I know. Pray for him anyway. You can do it with the grace of God. And David Wilkerson said this, I'll never forget this. He said, you'll never become more like Christ whenever you edify those who mortify you. Whenever those who have come against you and those that you're angry with or jealous over or envious over or those that have actually attacked you and have done you wrong, talked about you for no reason, when you edify them who have mortified you, that's whenever there's something in the rim of the Spirit of God that causes you and I to slowly be changed to the image of Christ. Listen, he was a sheep, oh, like a slaughter, led to the slaughter. Jesus opened not his mouth. Not only did he not come against them, but whenever he was on the cross dying, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Pray for the success of those you envy. Can someone come to the piano? Number four, thank God for the things you envy in others. This step is helpful because it forces me to admit that what I envy is God's gift to someone else. Their beauty, their talent, their gifts with words, their ability to attract others, their business success, their personality. It all comes from God. What they have, what you're envious over, God gave that to them. Did you hear that? What we can be envious over in somebody else's life, God gave that to them. God placed them there. But you can't handle it. Begin to thank God for the gifts in other people. Listen, the best thing to do is to learn from other people and to grow and allow God to minister through other people in other situations. And number five, find someone who needs your help and stop being so focused on your own failures and what you cannot do. Find someone else who needs your help. Nothing will cure envy like getting your eyes off of those above you instead of stepping down to wash dirty feet. Listen to me. Whenever you get concerned about other people, whenever you get so focused on other people's needs instead of your own needs, whenever you start looking at the lost, the dying, the poor, those who do not have what you have. Well, Brother Matt, I don't have very much, but you have something. God's blessed you with something. God's given you something special. Listen, you're on top of the ground today. That means you got breath in your nostrils. You're living. You're in a good church with people who love you. Listen, God has saved you. If you're saved this morning, he saved you. He's written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. We don't have nothing to complain about. Listen to me today. We must not get caught in the trap of envy. Why me, Lord? Why? I say this all the time. It's a principle that you can never, I don't believe you can undo this. Life is 10% of what happens to you, 90% of how you deal with it. Whenever you are faced with situations in life and you're constantly making bad decisions, and then you're mad at somebody else because they're making good decisions, I don't know what to tell you here. Learn. Stop maxing your credit card out. Stop telling your boss you're not going to do something. You got to find a job and climb your way back up to the top. Listen, we do more to ourselves. We cause more self-inflicted wounds than anything, and then we wonder why somebody else has everything going their way. Stop. You're in a trap today. Maybe someone's watching by Facebook. Even in ministry, when a church or a ministry starts excelling, it becomes very painful. And they don't even want to look. I had a minister tell me a long time ago, he goes, I see stuff on Facebook. I had to just completely block you. I didn't want to see it. It was too painful for me. Someone told me that. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? It's the kingdom of God. It's not my kingdom. It's not your kingdom. It's the kingdom of God. Listen to me today. We've got to admit it, confess, and repent of it. It doesn't matter if it's inside this church, if it's at your job, it's at your house, if it's somebody else's success, whatever it is, the Lord's going to open up that trap today. If you're single and your friend's getting married, I told these young people, I said, I'm going to put in that HTSM handbook. If you find a spouse here, you have $1,000 of World Harvest Missions. This is over with. It's over. It's over with. Rejoice with them. Rejoice. Envy will cause the bones to rot. Most people don't even know they're in the trap of offense. How do their kids act so good? I mean, my kids are doing this all the time. Everybody thinks I'm a bad parent. You're not a bad parent. But I can tell you this, oftentimes, what you don't take care of in private will manifest in the public. What you don't take care of in private will always manifest in the public. So don't be envious. Don't allow jealousy to get a hold of you. How many categories did I not name today? Hundreds. And every one of us have an area in our life where we're susceptible to jealousy. Why? I'm better than them. I know I'm better than them. If I just had that chance right there, I know that I would succeed just like them. You're envious. You're in a trap. I could be a good husband if I had a wife like that. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not talking about my wife now here. I got the best wife. Or I could be a wife, a good wife. I would be submissive if I had a husband that treated me that sweet. Wouldn't be hard for me. You're in the trap of offense or the trap of envy. Can we stand? Can you rejoice with somebody who succeeds? In your category, in your sphere of influence, or what you're closest to. I said it earlier that doctors usually don't struggle with home builders being envious over home builders. They struggle with other doctors. Home builders usually do not get jealous over attorneys. They get jealous of other builders in Tyler. I know for a fact because either some of them have fought here in Tyler, home builders. Why? They're envious of one another. One of them's building 300 homes a year. One of them's building 100. They're mad. They're angry. The one that's building 100 is probably making, I don't know what the commission is, what 15, 20% for a contract? I don't know. Probably making $500,000 a year. Other guy's making $1 million a year or more. But he's envious. Singers can easily become envious of one another. Do I know of any here? No, I don't. But I know it's a fact. Musicians can become envious. Preachers can become envious. It's the one that is closest to you. Husbands can become envious over their wife if they make more money. We've had problems here in 22 years. The wife would make more money, and I'm telling you, he just couldn't handle it. Well, I don't know what to tell you. You're in a trap. What's the Lord speaking to you today about on this Sunday morning that we're celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? If you can get this today and you can admit to this and you can confess and repent of this, begin to rejoice for other people and begin to pray for those that you're bothered about, God will open up. He'll release you from that trap, and he'll begin to open up the windows of heaven over your life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I preach what you give me today. I understand, Lord, that everyone here is in a different position. Everyone here, there may be some perpetrators here today that are guilty. There's others that are victims, or maybe people fit in both categories. God, I'm asking you, Lord, for those victims, those that have been the victim of jealousy and envy, for them to see things the way you see them. And I pray that you would help them to pray for those who have done them wrong. As David, he decided not to take matters into his own hands against Saul, but he honored and respected the man of God, and he allowed God to do justice. Lord, you're a just God. Lord, I pray that we'd have the right spirit. If we've been the victim of jealousy and envy, that we would not become bitter and angry, but we would love our friends, our comrades, the ones that we're closest to, and pray for them and help them. Lord, if we've been that one that's guilty today, you know. Maybe no one else in this house knows, but you know. We're asking you, Lord, to help us today. Help us. Forgive us. Wash us in your precious blood. Oh, God, we're asking you for miracles in this place. We're just going to ask everyone who can, if you're able to come and stand around these, most of our altars for this program have been removed. We have a couple left, but if you can come in and let's just come down to this altar, move in close. We're going to pray. I believe that some of you have seen some things today in the realm of jealousy and envy you've never seen before. Your eyes have been opened today in some areas you didn't know that was the issue. You're just upset with that person. They bring you pain. You don't want to be around them. And basically, whenever you get jealous and then envy gets in, then you start looking at them like they've got ulterior motives. They're wrong. They're up to no good. You start watching them. The Bible said whenever the ladies came in and they begin to sing, David, or Saul's killed his thousands, but David is 10,000s. The Bible said that Saul eyed David from that day forward. He watched him. Always trying to find, looking for something to get him on. When you're struggling with envy, jealousy, and envy, you're always looking for something to get that person on. Always looking for something to criticize them over. Listen, if you look for something to criticize me over, you can definitely find it. You don't have to look very hard to find something to be critical over me. And we're probably all that way. None of us are perfect. We all have character flaws. We all have weaknesses and misgivings. But when jealousy and envy has gotten a hold of you, you'll eye that individual looking for something to justify your jealousy and envy. Looking for a reason to not have lunch with them. Looking for a reason to distance yourself and to stop answering their phone calls or responding to their text messages or saying anything good about them, because you eye them just like Saul did David. Can we lift our hands to heaven? Heavenly Father, we're here today open. We're open, Lord. We want to be clean and pure. Oh, God, you know all things. There's nothing that can be hid from the eyes of the Almighty God. Lord, we're asking you to wash us and cleanse us today. I'm just going to ask you where you are. Harvest Time Church, those on Facebook, I want you to call out to the Lord. You know that situation. Maybe you're the one that you know that you have been eyed from someone else and they're coming against you. And you don't want to say, oh, it's just jealousy or envy, but you know what it is. I'm going to ask you to cry out to God for that individual. Ask the Lord to give you strength to get through that, to keep loving them, to keep caring for them. If it's you today that's struggling with envy and jealousy, ask the Lord to give you grace, to give you help. Oh God, just cry out to the Lord. Just cry out to the Lord this morning. Oh God, help us. Oh God, help us today.
Teach me to live.
Help us today, God. Oh Lord.
I don't want to see.
Lord, we don't want to be
give me a
in the trap. We don't want to be caught in the snare, the trap of envy. Oh God. Help us, Holy Ghost.
I don't want to recognize.
Help us, Holy Ghost.
The one in the mirror.
Oh yes, Lord. Jesus.
I don't want to trade your plan for something familiar.
Oh yes, Lord. Come on, talk to the Lord.
I can't waste today.
Talk to the
I
Lord
can't
today.
Stay the same.
Talk to the Lord. Ask
I
him to help
be
you.
Different.
Oh God, melt my heart. Make me tender
changed.
Towards you. Lord, I don't want to become hard. Oh God. I don't want to become jealous over my brother, my sister, and then turn into envy. That envy will rot the bones, oh God. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh God. Come on, church, tell him. He knows. He already knows. Nobody else may know, but you and God, you know. He's a merciful high priest. He's a good God. He'll help you today. Jesus.
The whole world will see that there's something different.
Thank you, Lord.
So come and be different.
Thank you, Jesus. Come on, church. Holy Ghost is moving. He's helping somebody in this house. Oh, yes, Lord. Heal us, Lord.
Stuck in a pattern.
Lord, it's caused our mind to war and to struggle. Lord, we've let that thing get a hold of us.
So I'm giving up.
Lord, set somebody free from the trap of envy today. Lord, we're exposing the devil. We're exposing the enemy right now. Jesus.
Till all of me's gone.
Thank you, Lord.
And all that remains.
Thank you, Jesus.
Is a fire sober eye. The whole world will see that there's something different.
Thank you, Jesus.
So come and be. So come and be different.
Hallelujah. Lay the hand, your hand on the person beside you. We're going to pray one for another this morning. If there's ever been a secret struggle in sin, envy fits that category. Jealousy and envy fit that category. Remember, nobody wants to say, and you shouldn't say, oh, they're just jealous. They're just envious over me. That's pride right there. But you can feel those things and you can see those signs. You can see that. We're going to pray one for another today. We're going to ask the Lord to help our brother or sister. You don't know what they're struggling with or what they may be confronted with in the next week. Let's pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we're asking you, Lord, to protect and to help our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, we understand that only you know the heart. You're the only one that knows what's going on in the inside of somebody. I pray, oh God, that if somebody's struggling with it, Lord, that it's been exposed today. Conviction has got a hold of their heart. Lord, we want to change today. We don't want to remain the same. We want to stop struggling with this. It has caused us to be stunted, our growth spiritually. Forgive us, God. Forgive us. Jesus. Oh, God. Lord, if they're struggling, if they're hurting because of something that somebody has done, I'm asking you, give them strength and help. Oh, God. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bring comfort and healing. Bring comfort and healing to somebody in this house. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
When your spirit's in
the place, oh God.
And how can I
thank you, Lord.
When you're all,
thank you,
when
Jesus.
You're all around me. 'Cause your voice is like water running through me. Eyes like fire all consuming. You're everything I'm not. You're changing.
Hallelujah.
I'm open, come and fill me. Your presence is all I'm seeking.
Hallelujah.
You're everything I'm not.
Before we close the service, just for a moment, we talked about Saul. How must David, what must he have gone through? He killed the giant. He loved King Saul. He loved him. David loved that man. God anointed David. Nobody wanted to stand against the giant. David said, I'll fight that uncircumcised Philistine. That was his crime. He was anointed by God. He couldn't handle this uncircumcised Philistine cursing the armies of the living God. He killed the giant under the anointing of God. That was God working through that man. And all of a sudden, the person that he loved and was so close to him turned on him for no reason. Not only did he turn on David, David loved Saul. Over and over again, Saul tried to throw a javelin at him. David dodged the javelin. And then he hunted him like an animal in the woods. Think about the torment that David went through. In his mind, he did nothing wrong. He did nothing wrong. That's what envy does to the victim. That's what envy does to the victim. He did nothing wrong. And he's being hunted like an animal. I've seen friends turn against friends because they're jealous and envious. And the friend that is the victim, they're weeping, they don't understand. There's question marks. What have I done? And the other person's never going to tell them because it's so foolish. Their eye in that individual like Saul eyed David, trying to find a reason of justification that they've cut them off. And they can find none. So they just cut them off. They'll come to their friend and say, why? What have I done? I'm sorry if I've done... Just don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all seen this before. That's what happens to the victim. And I'm going to tell you something. God always stands with the one who's been done wrong. Just like Jacob and Esau. Esau had been done wrong. His army was much larger than Jacob's. God gave Esau the power, authority to kill Jacob, his family. If Jacob had not wrestled with that angel and repented that night, it had been over with. God always stands with the one who's been done wrong. I'm warning you, watching my Facebook, anyone in this house, do I know of anything in particular going on right now? Absolutely not. I don't. That's why it's hard to preach this on Christmas morning, but I'm going to follow the Holy Ghost. I'm warning you.
Just in all my ways,
the one who causes men to rise and men to fall. You don't worry about others, said God. Look to me. Seek me with all your heart, and you will be promoted in the day that your heart is pure before me, saith the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. Blessing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord always stands with the one who's been done wrong. You feel hurt because you're not getting what you think that you have coming to you. So you treat that other person that way. I'm telling you, God's standing with them and he's against you. God's standing with them and he's against you. You've justified it. Stop justifying that. It's not right. It's not right. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God and he'll lift you up. This is a crossroad for somebody in this house. Maybe more than one person. This is a crossroad for you. You can either repent, admit, confess, repent, begin to pray for that person, or you're going to continue in your wilderness that you've been in. And that wilderness may go on another 10, 20 years or the rest of your life until you deal with what God's dealt with you about. God's the one that gives promotion. Amen. God's the one. Don't be jealous and envious over your brother or sister. He's the one. We're products of our choices. You can redefine yourself and you can begin to make better choices and pull yourself out of that pit you're in. God's a God of second chances, third chances, fourth chances, fifth chances. God is so good. I've made so many mistakes. I have failed so many times, and I just go to that altar and say, God, forgive me, cleanse me in your blood. I've repented of it, and then I've learned from it. I may not be the sharpest crayon in the box, but I don't have to keep going through the same thing over and over again. Okay, Lord, I get it. I'll listen. When we don't listen, when we fail to listen, we extend the wilderness experience. If you want to stay in the wilderness, you just let this message go in this ear and out that ear, and you'll stay in your wilderness. Amen. I love you this morning.